Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Prior to this, Jesus has been having a discussion with his disciples regarding salvation, and how difficult it is for somebody who is occupied with worldly goods and materialism to enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, because they're so overwhelmed and distracted by the cares of this world. The disciples hear him and they say, well, then who can be saved? Since we're all kind of preoccupied with the cares of this world, who can be saved? And Jesus looks at them and says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter said, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? It's an interesting question. Jesus, we've done all that you have asked. We've believed, and we've gone to church, and we've gone to Sunday school, and we raised our kids, and we got them confirmed, and we did all of these things. What do we get, God? What's our prize? What's our reward for all of the things that we've done? Jesus responds to Peter's question with the parable that we read in Matthew 20. That this owner of this vineyard hires people to work in the vineyard. Day laborers, it's a common practice, even still in a lot of our agricultural areas, it's a common practice to hire day laborers, people just to go in and do the harvesting or the picking or whatever it may be. And so this is not an unusual setting for a parable, but the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, as we've talked about all through Pentecost, is the reign and rule of God in Christ, how God is acting in the world through his son Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit carries that out even today. So Jesus sets up this parable, knowing that the question in Peter's mind, or in the minds of the disciples, is, since we have dedicated our lives to you, Jesus, what's our reward? What do we get? So the master of the house goes out and hires laborers, and he goes out early in the morning, the first sun, and gathers up the first group of day laborers and agrees with them for a certain amount of money, a denarius, a day's wage. No big deal. It's sort of the way that it goes, and no surprise there. The disciples should be saying, well, sure, that's kind of what you do. And so he hires the first guys and sends them off to work, agreeing, you know, in their labor contract for a denarius. And so they begin their work. There's a lot of work to be done, because the owner of the house goes back to the marketplace, and there's some people there at the third hour and the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he hires all of these people who are just waiting to be hired. And so he sends them all to work and agrees to pay them what is right. Be careful, because he doesn't say what is fair. What is right is what they agree to be paid. And then finally he goes out, and it's the 11th hour. There's only about an hour's worth of daylight left to do the picking and the work in the vineyard. And so there are still those who have been standing around all day. He asks them, all day you've been standing around. Why? Well, simply because no one has hired us. We've been waiting, but there's nobody to hire us. And he says, all right, you go, and I'll pay you again what is right. You go and work too. So the disciples are hearing this, and they're going, all right, let's hear how this goes. Let's see how this plays out. So evening comes in the parable, and the owner says to the foreman, well, all right, so call all of the workers in, the ones I hired last and the ones I hired first and everyone in between, and pay them, because the practice was it wasn't right to hold the wages overnight. So you had to pay them before they went home for the day. That was the rule. If you kept the wages overnight and didn't pay them till the next day, well, then that was a poor manager, and they probably wouldn't want to work for you again. So he does what is right, and he pays the workers. Now here's where kind of takes a twist. Because who would you assume in our day and age, in our Western thought, in our world of fairness and equity, who would you think deserves to be paid first? Well, the ones who had been working all day, right? They should be paid first. Well, and if the master of the house had done that, if the foreman had done that, well, then maybe the people wouldn't have grumbled so much. Because they wouldn't have known who got paid what. That's not what he does. Because this is an answer to Peter's question about what reward do we get. And so Jesus sets this parable up where the foreman actually pays the last people first. That's not a typical practice. That's different. So that's where this sort of the kingdom of heaven reveals how it works. It doesn't work like the kingdom of man. Fairness, equity are much different in the kingdom of heaven than they are in the kingdom of man. Because the guys who are only there for an hour in those last hours of daylight, you know, maybe they got an hour's worth or maybe 45 minutes worth of work, certainly not an entire day's worth of work, and he pays them a denarius. Well, the first guys are thinking, well, okay, that's all right. He can pay them a denarius because, well, we're going to get more. We're going to get more because we worked longer. We worked harder. So he can pay them the denarius, but we're going to get more because we've been here longer. And that comes to them and he pays them a denarius. Well, wait a minute. We worked all day. We worked through the heat of the day. We worked our hands to the bone. We worked so much longer than those guys. You know, those guys. We always have those guys in the parables, don't we? When Jesus is teaching, there's always those guys who these guys think are less than those guys. Not that we would ever think that. Those guys. Those people. So the first workers are irate. You, foreman, you, owner of the vineyard, have made those guys equal to us. You've made us the same. That's not fair. That's not the way things work, owner of the vineyard. You need to make it fair. You need to make it equal. You need to pay us what we deserve. Well, that's exactly the setup that Jesus wants his disciples thinking. Because Peter sort of got it in his mind, Lord, we gave up everything to follow you. We gave up house and home and all of this stuff and our jobs, and we followed you. So what do we get? What's our reward? Because we've done far more than those guys. So what's our reward, Jesus? It's a denarius. Same as those guys. Well, that's not fair. See, our idea of fairness, even in Scripture, is so influenced by the way that we think the world ought to work. But remember, this is the kingdom of heaven. This isn't the world. This isn't the way that the world ought to work. Yes, fairness, equality, equity, all of those things in our day and age, in our worlds of labor and all of that, yes, there are civic and political-minded things that need to take place. That's fine. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Because in the kingdom of heaven, grace abounds for all people. Not just these guys who have been followers of Jesus since they were born and who were baptized as infants and who went to Sunday school and who went to church and then were in confirmation and then they were acolytes and then they did all of these things and then they taught vacation Bible school when they got older and then they were on the council when they were and then they did this and then we went to youth group and we did all of these things and you have made them equal to us? The response of the owner, the kingdom of heaven, remember, this is the response of the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is like this owner who goes to hire people. So the response of the owner, the response of the kingdom of heaven is this: to those who want fairness and equity in what God gives, according to our idea of fairness, he says, and I love the way he starts. He says, friend, friend. Notice he doesn't say servant. He doesn't say worker. He doesn't say you guy. He says, friend. Remember, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is the reign and rule of God in Christ speaking here. This is Jesus saying these words, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree? Didn't we agree to work for a denarius? Well, yeah, that's what the contract says. Then I'm doing you no wrong. I'm giving you exactly what we agreed to. I'm giving you exactly not what you think you deserve, and certainly, according to the kingdom of God, not what you really deserve. I'm giving you the fullness of my grace. Now, the problem is you think you deserve more than those guys. So you're telling me, creator of the entire universe, what to do with my stuff? You better try that again, friend. I'm doing you no wrong. I'm giving you what we agreed to. I'm giving you the abundant grace. And I choose, as creator of the universe, as savior of the world, to give my abundant grace to you and to those guys. Now, if I give my abundant grace to those guys, that doesn't mean you get less abundant grace. If I give my salvation and the kingdom of heaven and all of my love and forgiveness and mercy to you and to those guys, that doesn't mean you get less. In fact, according to the way of righteousness, you all are getting way more than you deserve. Remember that. Because what are the wages of sin, as Paul says? The wages of sin are death. So you want to know what you deserve because of our sinfulness? It's not the denarius. It's not the abundant grace. And yet, that's what the kingdom of heaven pours out on us. Lest we think we're getting shortchanged, remember what that abundant grace is. The love of God displayed through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for everyone, for you and for me and for those guys, which, by the way, as I always say, we're those guys. Okay? In other words, a denarius a day, a denarius a day. There's no difference between these guys and those guys. Which, for me, I am so, so thankful that there's no difference in the way that God's grace pours out on me as it does on you. I am so grateful that God, in his abundant love and mercy, continues to forgive, to grant that mercy and grace to me, just as he does to you. Friend, I choose to do what I want with my generosity as the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven's wondrous world of righteousness and doing what is right rather than what our idea of fairness and equality means, we are blessed beyond our imagination. The Lord does for you abundantly more than we can possibly come up with on our own. And so gratefully, abundantly more than we deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guide our hearts and minds always in one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.